Last month, the United States released its data of pharmaceutical sales, showing top drug sales. I'm talking of legal drugs, of course. On top of the list is a drug called Abilify. Its generic name is aripiprazole, an antipsychotic medication and also used together with other medications to treat major depressive disorder in adults. And that implies there is a high incidence of major depression among adults in the United States. And you ask the question, how can that be? More people are depressed in the most affluent and most powerful nation on earth. It may simply prove the adage that as we have more and more, we live for less and less. Pero yan ang katunayan ngayon sa Amerika. Marami ang bumibigay sa panlulumo at nawawala ng saysay sa kanilang pakiramdam. Christians should not belong to those who have less to live for. And therefore, in that sense, we should not be prone to depression. That is the depression of emptiness. We live for the biggest cause, after all, not less or no less than God's cause. But yet, the Christian, while not vulnerable to the depression of emptiness, there is another form of depression Christians are vulnerable to, and that is weariness. Maaring hindi natin sinasabing walang saysay ang ating buhay, ngunit dumarating ang mga pagkakataon na tayo ay nanlulupaypay. And weariness may simply mean the state of being tired after exertion of effort, and it happens to us all. But there is a more somber sense of weariness that happens in periods of our lives, and that is more in the old translation, translated as faint-hearted. It is exhaustion, not just of physical energy, but of the inward compulsion. Nangyayari sa atin yun, yung ating kalooban ay parang dumarating na sa dulo ng ating natitirang lakas, and it results in loss of vigor. Now, it may happen even when we begin a venture full of vigor, but after some time, we find ourselves spent. You may feel this weariness in your career, in your vocation, in routine activities, but there is none more dangerous than that weariness that pertains to the things of God in our lives. And the end of the year is one good occasion when we need to take stocks and examine ourselves. Suriin natin ang ating sarili. Tingnan natin nasaan na tayo pagdating sa mga gawain at mga bagay ng Diyos. Is it weariness in ministry? Is it in the fellowship of brethren? Is it in Christian duties? Does it pertain to the cultivation of your soul? In any of this, there can be weariness. And last week, using the favorite Isaiah 40 passage, we learned that one may be weary due to faithfulness. And there we saw the promise. God promises strength to His people who are weary due to faithfulness. May angkop na pangako para sa mga tao ng Diyos na nanlulupaypay dala ng katapatan. But today, we shall be looking at a more menacing source of weariness in believers, and that is temptation to sin. Mas nakapagbabanta na panlulupaypay para sa mga mananampalataya ay ang tukso ng kasalanan. Open your Bibles with me to another familiar passage concerning weariness, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, we'll read from verse 1 to verse 6. Hebrews 12, 1 to 6. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. Now we hear frequently enough the context of the writing of Hebrews. The writer is writing to people who were once Jewish in faith, and then they discovered Christianity and they professed conversion to the Christian faith. But now they are at a point that they are discouraged, many of them declining, and some of them actually backsliding to Judaism. And the writer is seeking to draw them back. Now, had they been dealt with by the modern approach today, he would probably arrange a revivalist meeting calling for surrender. Yan ang karaniwang ginagawa ngayon. Pag mga backsliders daw ang kausap, revivalist meeting with someone who is called a revivalist to revive these individuals. But the writer, in the bulk of his letter, occupied the minds of his readers on how great Jesus Christ is. He makes comparison to angels, to the priesthood of the Old Testament, to the sacrifices of the Old Testament, even to the temple of the Old Testament. And every time he comes to the conclusion, Jesus is better, as much as the fulfillment is better than the prophecy or the ceremony. Pinapakita niya na si Jesus ay higit na mainam, higit na dakila. Ito ang kanyang paraan na hikayatin ang mga nanlalamig, mga tinatabangan, na mga mananampalataya na buhaying muli ang kanilang pananampalataya sa Panginoong Hesukristo. In fact, we have that in our text. He calls his readers, look to Jesus. And then in verse 3, consider him. And that is the approach that the Bible makes when we find our faith drooping or becoming cold. And the way to deal with that is not some kind of great emotional push, but rather refresh who Christ is, who Jesus is. The application section of Hebrews begins with 10:19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, and he begins the various practical exhortations to be built upon that. But notice, he begins with what we already have in Jesus Christ. Nagsimula siya sa kung saan mayroon na tayo kay Jesucristo. You see, our approach many times is a payoff mentality. Something like, if you will be faithful, you will be blessed. Parang bargain. Pag magpakatapat ka, pagpapalain ka. The consistent approach of the New Testament is not payoff, but gratitude. Since we have this grace, since Christ has done this for us, since we have this salvation blessings. And that's the New Testament approach, and it will do good to our souls, brethren, when we have to deal with a drooping spirit, that we remind ourselves of what we already have in Christ. And the same is true when the issue is our struggle with and temptation to sin, resulting in weariness. This is my simple message. In Christ, the believer can overcome weariness from temptation. Kay Kristo, maaring manaig ang mananampalataya sa panlulupaypay mula sa mga tukso. In Christ, the believer can overcome weariness from temptation. Now, this passage follows a favorite section of the scriptures. Siguro paborito ng marami sa inyong Hebrews 11. And often our approach to Hebrews 11 is treat it like model heroes. You know, look at Abel, be like him. Look at Moses, be like him. Look at Abraham, be like him. And it becomes a be like him message. And the point of the writer, however, is that all those heroes of faith are incomplete without Jesus Christ. And the point, therefore, is as you see these believers in the Old Testament persevering, we are the ones who are in a more complete side of God's plan. We should persevere even more. Parang sinasabi niya, nagawa nila na wala pang katuparan kay Kristo, tayo'y nasa panig na ng katuparan ni Kristo. Kung sila'y nakapagpatuloy, kung sila'y nakapagtiis, mas magagawa natin dahil nasa panig na tayo ng katuparan kay Hesukristo. Kaya hindi ito basta model to be imitated. And this applies to the particular form of weariness addressed here. Weariness from temptation. Two thoughts I want to share. First, the challenge of our Savior's victory. Ang hamon ng tagumpay ng ating tagapagligtas, the challenge of our Savior's victory, and secondly, the lesson of our Father's discipline, ang aral ng disiplina ng ating Ama. The lesson of our Father's discipline. First of all, the challenge of our Savior's victory. This is what the writer says, consider Him, that is Jesus, who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself. Again, at first glance, it appears that the writer is urging his readers to consider and follow the example of Christ. Agad, ang parang nakikita natin ginagawa lang niya ay, etong huwaran ni Kristo, sundin niyo ang kanyang huwaran. But I think it is bigger than just his example. It is rather his victory from which we draw courage. The point is that his struggle with sin was greater than anyone, but he gained victory for his people. It wasn't victory just for himself. The victory of Jesus over temptation was on behalf of his people. You see, if all that the writer is asking his readers is to see Christ's example and be like him, I don't know about you, but the effect on me will be adding more weariness. Somebody told me that I should follow the example of Jesus, period. My reaction would be, I can never be that. Oh, to me. But the word used is the word for victory. The word endure belongs to resistance words. And the particular resistance in view here is to resist by holding one's ground. It's like a camp in a defensive position being attacked, and that camp holds its position. And therefore, the enemy cannot advance further. And that is the picture here. Jesus was tempted in all points in order that he may swerve from his mission, but he never did. He never moved one inch. He did hold his ground. You see an example of this in the temptation narrative of the Gospels. When after the 40 days of fasting, he had all the human limitations, sin in what he truly was as human, he felt hungry, and here comes the devil tempting him to turn bread, to turn stones into bread, or to worship him, etc. And in all those, Jesus was victorious. But don't imagine that that was the only time he had to deal with a tempter. His temptations were worse than ours. Earlier, in an earlier part of the letter of Hebrews, the writer says in 4:15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Our temptation is only on some points. We are told that his temptation was in all points. Now, many Christians imagine, well, he was God, and therefore dealing with temptation must be a walk in the park as far as his power was concerned, and that is to misunderstand the act of humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was totally dependent upon the Spirit. Let me illustrate it this way. I lived for the years of my childhood in near Santa Mesa train station, and in our place, maraming putik, mga kanal, mabahong lugar, shared bathroom by several families, so the place was filth. But we lived there. I got accustomed to it. And I can eat na magana kahit nandyan sa paligid mo yung karumihan. But once I brought a friend from the wealthy level, eh, hindi siya makatagal, because he wasn't used to that filth. And something like that happened when Jesus came down to earth. From the purity of his eternal existence, now he is surrounded by filth. You and I hardly struggle with that moral filth. Jesus was pure, and I believe he struggled more than all our struggles combined when it came to dealing with sin. Yet, this is the good news. He held his ground. His mission was never off course because of sin. And his victory is for us. He wasn't saying, now I have won my victory, now win yours. It wasn't like that. His victory was our victory. When we feel weary from temptation to sin, what does Jesus Christ offer as high priest? He says, he sympathizes. I would not have been surprised if the word used is disappointed. He's disappointed when we struggle with temptation or any other negative reaction I would have understood. Instead, in our weaknesses, he sympathizes. He sympathizes with our weaknesses. Our Lord is assuring us, I know the feeling. I had been there myself, but I gained victory for you. And the believer therefore may say, I often fail, I fall into temptation, but it does not change my victory in him. He has gained that victory for me. And when we can draw our assurance from his victory, the writer says, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Yung nilalabanan nating tukso, maaring nagagapi tayo, pero ang tuksong yun ay ginapi na ni Jesucristo para sa atin. And while we are dealing with the entails and the remains of that temptation, it is already a beaten foe. Because Christ gained victory for us and now he sympathizes. Something unbelievable happened in the necrological service for Nelson Mandela. You saw leader after leader giving their eulogies for Mandela. You may have watched on TV that man who was doing sign language, and now he was exposed to be fake. Can you imagine this man who had problems with the law was a few inches away from rulers of the world, including President Obama? Yung daw binibigay niyang sign language ay fake. Nakita ng mga talagang nakakaalam ay hindi tama. And what gave him away, according to experts, is that he had no facial expression. His face was blank. As he was giving all those sign language, sign symbols, his face was blank. And experts say 50% almost of sign communication is facial. He had no expression. And that gave him away. But in the case of the Lord Jesus, it's not a blank face. When he deals with us in our sin, his sympathy is true. And we can draw strength from that. And now the challenge of this to us is, according to the writer, accept the call to the death of dealing with sin. When we say that we draw our assurance from the victory of Christ, does that mean indifference to sin? No. The very word endure, used of Jesus, is now made the duty of the believer in temptation. James 1:12, blessed is the man who endures, exactly the same word in Greek, who endures temptation, not perfectly, but continuing endurance. Our text has a more graphic presentation of this. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. The writer knows that despite their struggles, in the case of the Hebrew Christians, it has not yet reached for them the point of martyrdom. Wala pang minamartir sa kanila. And what that implies is that dealing with sin should not stop even short of death. It is only at death that our dealing with sin comes to cessation, but not until then. Therefore, dealing with sin is a battle to the death. We stand our ground, but then we fall. And yet Jesus Christ remains the victor for us. And because of that, we stand our ground again. And though we may fall again, we stand our ground because the victory has not changed. Hindi nagbago yung tagumpay ng Panginoon. Because Christ has gained victory over that sin you struggle with, you may one day share that victory as well. And so the writer tells them, look at that sin that he says clings closely, that easily snares you. Or I like the old translation, besetting sin. The sin that so easily besets you. It may differ from Christian to Christian, but you have those sins that cling closely. Apply the victory of Christ, that Christ has already gained victory over it. Now it is your turn, by the grace of God, to work that victory of Christ in your own life. One of the wonderful things Oliver Cromwell accomplished during the Civil War in England, there was a civil war between the royal forces, loyal to the king, and the forces of parliament. Yes, it happened then. Nangyayari noon, magkakaroon ng gera ang hari laban sa parliament. And Oliver Cromwell was the commander of the parliament forces. And one thing that he was able to achieve, according to observers, is that he purged all cursing and vices from his army. He do that to soldiers, very unlikely. But he managed to do that. Now, that is just because of the force of personality by Oliver Cromwell. And we are not talking about the force of personality of Christ. We are talking of real victory he already gained for us. And now he is asking us, share that victory in that particular sin that clings closely, that besetting sin. Are you still fighting? Fighting from the victory of Christ. The challenge of our Savior's victory, and secondly, the lesson of our Father's discipline. Ang aral ng disiplina ng ating Ama. The writer says, quoting from the Old Testament, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by Him." He anchors God's discipline, or the word we know is chastisement. He anchors that on fatherly love. Quoting from Proverbs 3:11, "For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." Now, this is not a quid pro quo. Every sin has a measure of chastisement. That is not the way God deals with our sins in out of his grace. Psalm 103, verse 10, "He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities." But what is this point of chastisement? Now listen to this. This is a marvelous point. Christ took for us the punishment of wrath so that our sins may have the chastisement of love. Inangkin ni Jesus ang puot, ang parusa ng puot ng Diyos sa kasalanan upang ang matira sa atin ay ang disiplina ng kanyang pag-ibig. What a beautiful thought. That's what happened when Christ died on the cross. And the book of Hebrews has some of the clearest statements in the New Testament of the significance of the death of Christ. And repeatedly, the death of Christ is explained by the writer of Hebrews as a sacrifice. And Christ's death is the fulfillment of all the sacrifices in the Old Testament. Listen to 9:26. "He has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." What is the significance of sacrifice? A sacrifice is a special kind of offering. Not all offerings are sacrifices. To be a sacrifice, it must be burned on the altar. It must be an animal burned on the altar. And what is the significance of that? The fire signifies God's wrath, consuming the victim that ceremonially bore the sins of Israel. Yun ang nangyayari sa sakripisyo. Ang apoy na sinusunog sa mga pagano, ang akala nila ay kinakain ng mga Diyos nila yung kanilang sakripisyo. Hindi ganun ang pananaw sa Israel. Ang pananaw sa Israel sa sakripisyo, habang ito ay sinusunog, ito ay sinusunog, tinutupok ng puot ng Diyos sapagkat daladala nito ang kasalanan ng Israel. That's what Christ did on the cross. Not ceremonially, but really. And my friend, apart from Christ, you face the fullness of the wrath of God. And your only salvation is to be part of those for whom Christ died. Come to Him. He is your only Savior. Otherwise, there is no fleeing from the wrath that is to come. But for believers, Jesus took the fullness of wrath. No wrath, not even a cup, remains for the believer. Jesus consumed it all on the cross. The problem of the unbeliever, John 3:36 says, the wrath of God abides in him. And take that seriously, my friend. During your happy times, during your fruitful times, you graduate, you take your salary, you are promoted, good things, but even then the wrath of God abides in you. And it will only be removed in Christ. But for the believer, all wrath has been removed. And so Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. When the believer struggles with sin, God's wrath does not abide in him. No condemnation. But when we dally with sin, God's love is moved. He does not want his beloved child to damage himself. And it issues in loving chastisement. And when chastisement happens, verse 11 of our text says, for the moment all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And we just do not realize now, brethren, how some of those painful chastisements spared us from self-destruction. And though you were complaining, though you were crying at the moment of chastisement, God's heart is in love with you even as He chastises you to spare you self-destruction. I remember during my advanced military training in college, I had a bunker where there was this statement on top that I inescapably read every time I lie down. It says, the more you sweat in training, the less you bleed in battle. The more you sweat in training, the less you bleed in battle. Ibig sabihin, talagang magpakasipag ka sa pagsasanay, mas higit na ma-spare ka sa talagang labanan na. And that's what chastisement is. The Lord is training you so that you don't bleed fatally. Therefore, the challenge is learn from your chastisement to take seriously your issues of sin and temptation. Because Christ became our sacrifice, does that mean we can take lightly, sinning willfully? Well, you don't know the meaning of sacrifice. Listen to 10:26 and 27 of Hebrews. If we go on sinning willfully, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. To use the cross to cover up for sinfulness nullifies its significance as sacrifice. Therefore, the challenge of the writer in 12:12, therefore lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet. In other words, stand up from your weariness and be ready to fight sin and temptation again. Perhaps this year has been a witness in your life of some of the worst struggles with sin. Are you weary? Can you name those sins that cling closely? Are you weary with temper outbursts? Are you weary with covetousness? Are you weary with lustful thoughts or idolatry in the heart? Are there sins that cling so closely that they have become habit to you, that they almost are second nature? Is it gossip? Is it contention? Is it suspicion? When you deal with these real sins, you begin with the victory of Christ And then those lessons of God's chastisement. How do we respond to these chastisements? Micah the prophet gave word to Judah under the impending captivity and gave them the word to use in contrition, Micah 7, 8, and 9. Rejoice not over me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he pleads my cause. Does the submissive spirit under chastisement, I have sinned, and thus there is fatherly indignation. It's not wrath, but fatherly chastisement comes to me, but the Lord will once again plead my cause. Humble admission leads to submission to God's chastisement. Sometimes there are mysterious ways of God dealing with us, but he knows what is for our best. And one of those things that define the best for us is when we can deal with temptation and with sin and be able to stand even when we are weary, because Christ is the victor for us. John Newton is famous for perhaps the most renowned of hymns, Amazing Grace. Yet he wrote another hymn that I believe is worthy of the same fame, because in this hymn, he has searched God's way with the soul. And we will be singing this last hymn where he speaks of how he thought he was to pray concerning his sin. I asked the Lord, he says in the first verse, that I might grow in faith and love and every grace, might more of his salvation know and seek more earnestly his face. And he gives voice to the thought, surely this is a prayer that God should honor. But instead, he was made to pass through struggles and temptations. And this is something that almost broke his heart. And yet the explanation when he asks in verse 6, Lord, why is this? I trembling cried, wilt thou pursue thy worm to death? 'Tis in this way, the Lord replied, I answer prayer for grace and faith. These inward trials I employ from self and pride to set thee free and break thy schemes of earthly joy, that thou mayst find thy all in me. It is a lifetime struggle with sin, brethren. It will only cease at death. And so dealing with sin is to the death. But there is already victory. And from that victory, we may overcome our weariness. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos at mabuting Ama, sa mga pagkakataong ito na iniisip namin ang mga kasalanang daladala namin, ang mga tukso na nilalabanan namin, dumarating kami sa mga pagkakataon ng panlulupaypay, at dito sa ganitong pagkakataon mas lalo kaming marupok sa tukso ng kalaban. Kaya tulungan mo na magkaroon kami ng karunungan sa pag-unawa ng aming kalagayan, ng aming kahinaan, ng aming karupukan, at makita namin na may pangako at kalakip kay Kristo ng pananaig sa panlulupaypay na dala ng tukso ng kasalanan. Help us, Lord, to draw from the victory of Christ the challenge to face our own temptations and sins. Even though we fall, even though we find ourselves vulnerable, it doesn't change the fact that Christ has already earned victory over sin and over the particular sins with which we struggle. And those particular sins that are more tempting to us, those sins that so closely cling, those sins that ensnare us, our besetting sins, Christ has gained victory over them. And whether we fall or find ourselves struggling, the victory of Christ has already been earned for us. Yet from that, we draw the challenge that we too must endure, having gained victory from it in our Lord Jesus. Make it our ambition to share that victory over the temptations to sin that we face day by day. Help us also, Lord, to understand the lesson of our Father's discipline. That discipline is not from his wrath, for Jesus, as our sacrifice, has consumed all wrath for his people. And therefore, help us to understand that the chastisement that is administered to us when we dally with sin is not for our destruction, but precisely to spare us from self-destruction. And though they may be heavy and painful, it is in order that we may be spared, and they are sent to us out of the Father's love. So help us, Lord, to learn from our chastisement, to take seriously our issues of sin and temptation, to name those sins that are real to us and draw from Christ's victory and learn from our Father's chastisement and have the contrition that as we deal with our sins and as we have our fall into them, we still stand and continue the fight, continue to endure, and by your grace, one day earn victory. But our struggle with sin will be to the death, and may we never surrender to it until we are spared of every sinfulness in glory. So be with us in our commitment to this. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.